Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to what is a Monday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and of course, streaming live on YouTube. 855-212-4227 is the number to jump on in. That's 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, X, at Zach Gelb. That's ZACHGELB. We got a whole lot to do today. Moist Mike is here. Stuart Kovacs is here as well. We'll be rocking and rolling all the way up until 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific time. Rashad White from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is going to stop by 20 minutes from now, so you don't want to miss that. We'll get into what was a disastrous weekend for some of the top dogs in the SEC. Ole Miss goes down, Alabama goes down, and Texas A&M goes down as well, which is going to change the college football playoff landscape. But I got to start with the NFL. You know, I did not think this was some wonderful weekend in the NFL. It is wild. The college football has been so good this year, and it has been such a good product. It's been so entertaining. The games have been awesome. The storylines have been really fun. And I'm able, right, to watch all the college football on Saturday and then all the NFL on Sunday. But I'll tell you, by that 4 o'clock window yesterday in the NFL, I thought it was just so boring, if I'm just being honest. You knew that the 49ers were going to get blown out by the Packers because the 49ers didn't have Bosa, and they didn't have Brock Purdy. The Seahawks-Cardinals game I was really fired up about, and that ended up being a low-scoring dud game. Arizona doesn't deliver, and the Seattle Seahawks do a nice job in an NFC West that just continues to be very underwhelming this year. And then the Broncos-Raiders game. Stu, I don't really want to start the show off this way, but I'm going to do so anyway, and then I'll get to what we're going to talk about. There's only four teams right now that I think can go on to win the Super Bowl with what they have shown me so far. But that Raiders-Broncos game, I know everyone's going to sit here and they're going to talk about how great Sean Payton is. They're going to talk about how great Bo Nix is. And I'm not taking anything away from the Broncos. I was wrong in the Broncos. They have been better than what I thought they were going to be this year. Sean and Bo have been a really good 1-2 punch. They've been a really good marriage. And in all likelihood, that team's going to make the playoffs. And if they don't make the playoffs, then something terribly has gone wrong down the stretch, and they started to look like the team that I thought they were going to be before the season started. But unless you had money on the game, or if you're a fan of the Broncos and the Raiders, why would you want to watch that slop fest? Stu, can you be honest with me? Now, the other two games didn't really give you a reason to watch, but you have Red Zone, right?
Yes.
Was that game on during the entirety? Did you have the sound on for Raiders and Broncos? Did you torture yourself yesterday?
I did. I tortured myself, really only because the other games weren't that good.
Yeah, like if you had a good 4:25 p.m. Eastern time game, let's say you had the Bills going up against Kansas City, for example, what was
last week ago. Yeah.
Would you have muted the Raiders, or would you put the Raiders on like a computer or something?
I mean, I have the two TVs set up, so I would have had them on the other TV, but it probably would have been muted.
That was brutal.
Bad game.
Yeah. I was so happy. It's weird now. And I don't know, maybe it's because I'm getting older. But I said I was happy that I fell asleep before the Tyson-Jake Paul fight. In the third quarter, late in the third quarter, I was on, I was at my parents' house. They have a nice big recliner couch, you know, electric, right? It's an awesome couch. It kind of feels like movie theater seating. And I started to feel my eyes shut. And I said, I'm good if I fall asleep for the fourth quarter of these games. And I woke up, I was all rejuvenated, had some dinner, got some Chinese food, had a little General Tso's chicken last night, little lo mein, had a pork fried egg roll, and then I was all awake, all ready to go for the Sunday night football game between the Philadelphia Eagles and the LA Rams. But let me tell you, that 4:25 window, and I didn't even eat that much on Sunday. I'm trying to think, what did I... Oh, I ate very light on Sunday during the day until the night where I had the Chinese food. I just had like eggs and a bagel. That was it. But I felt as if I was in a food coma because I'm just looking at all three of those games, and all three of those games were so damn boring. And they gave you no reason to want to stick around for the second half. But I walk away, and I know we had a big one tonight between the Chargers and the Ravens. But I walk away from this week of football, and right now I think there's only four teams that could win the Super Bowl. Now, let me start you off with the first one. It's the obvious one, but it's not because of anything that they've done spectacularly well this year. It's just because of the benefit of the doubt, and we've seen them do this before. It's the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl this year, I think I may proclaim at the end of the season that they're going to go on to win the next five straight Super Bowls. Because I understand this Kansas City's defense. I know they did not play well yesterday, but this defense is really good. The offense has been up and down all throughout the year. It is amazing that we're sitting here this late in the season and the Chiefs only have one loss. And I felt good for Bryce Young yesterday. I felt good for Carolina Panthers fans who have had to deal with a lot of crap in the last 5 years or so. But to get that moment where you score the touchdown, you get the two-point conversion in a game where I had a parlay yesterday. And let me tell you something. It's criminal that I didn't win this parlay. I had Bucky Irving scoring a touchdown. I had the Eagles laying three. And all I needed was the Chiefs to cover by 10.5 points. I put down $25. It would have won like $250 or something. And for most of that Chiefs-Panthers game, it looked like a lock. And then they allowed a field goal at the end. And then you had the touchdown and the two-point conversion. And when that occurred, I never thought the Chiefs were going to lose the game because there was too much time left on the clock for Patrick Mahomes, but it almost would have served them right if they would have lost that game. I don't know about you, Stu, and where you're at, and you've been tortured by the Kansas City Chiefs. They're in your division. So it's not as if you could have other teams in your division distract them. They are in your division, so it's not as if you could just put the Chiefs on the back burner and you say, okay, we deal with them when we have to go up and play them, or, you know, I know the Raiders are never making the postseason, but for other teams' case, oh, you'll get worried about the Chiefs when you have to go up against them in the playoffs. You hope someone else does your dirty work, right? But this year, even though they were just undefeated entering 2 weeks ago and they lost to the Bills, the Chiefs don't have a Super Bowl feel. And I know we could say the same thing last year, where Kansas City was begging for someone to put them out of their misery, and every team in a big spot just gagged and choked it away. But Stu, the more and more I watch this team, if someone doesn't rise to the top this year and take them down, whether it's in the Super Bowl or the AFC Championship game or the divisional round, then I truly believe no one is going to beat this team when it matters in the foreseeable future. Because it's one thing to leak a little bit last year like they did, but now they've been leaking 2 years in a row. And if they walk away with the Lombardi Trophy this year, Stu, it means the rest of the league sucks. And if that's the case, I'll just be so ill because they do not look like a great team, even though I'll still say they're one of four teams that could win a Super Bowl because of who the coach is, who the quarterback is, who the tight end is, and also who the defensive coordinator is. But tangibly, this year, there's not much that you could grab on outside of just what we've seen in the past to make you think that Kansas City is this elite great football team this year with the way that they're playing. And they still only have one loss, which is crazy.
Yeah, it's wild. And like the Patriots, as you know, with Brady, there are some years where they were very good, but not Super Bowl winning. Like these past 2 years, that's what the Chiefs should have been. And the fact that if they win it this year, back-to-back years with this kind of...
I'd be ill.
Yeah, they really might. And they're going to fix some of their, you know, issues. Like they're going to... In the next offseason or two, they're going to get back to that point. So.
And eventually Kelsey will retire and you could spread more money around and whatnot. But
yeah, it's tough.
But I look around the AFC. I only think there's only one other team right now that could get to the Super Bowl out of the AFC. The Ravens' defense stinks. The Steelers, I don't trust Russell Wilson in a big spot. The Texans, what the heck has happened to C.J. Stroud this year? He's still a good quarterback, but any moment when you're in a big game and you're supposed to elevate your team, C.J. Stroud just has not lived up to the hype this year. He had under 100 passing yards when they were in Green Bay. Yesterday, they lost to Tennessee. They lost to the Titans. And he's running out of the back of the end zone like he's Dan Orlovsky. And I love Orlovsky, but come on. Even Orlovsky's having fun at that yesterday. You know, maybe it is the Chargers. Maybe the Ravens get back on track tonight. But I look at the AFC, I don't see how you can make the case right now for anyone other than the Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills. And I know the Bills didn't play this week, but I put a bet down yesterday on the Bills. I have two Super Bowl future tickets right now to win the Super Bowl. I told you a few weeks ago I got the Lions at plus 600. I have the Buffalo Bills also at plus 700 after yesterday. And one of those two teams, in my opinion, I feel good that at least one will be there, if not both. And I would say right now that if I had to pick NFC or AFC to win the Super Bowl, I would say it's the NFC. You know, I feel better about the NFC and a third team emerging in the NFC than I do the AFC. Like, the Bengals shouldn't make the playoffs. I know the Dolphins are getting hot, but let's see them go up against a really good team and beat them. And they're a game under 500. You know, the Chargers, I love Harbaugh, but I don't think they're getting the Super Bowl this year. The Steelers, no. The Ravens, no. And then you look at the NFC, the two teams that get to the Super Bowl, the Lions sleptwalked through yesterday. And they still won 24-6. They played maybe a C game, and they're still able to win and blow out everyone. The Lions got some good games coming up on their schedule. When you look at Detroit coming up, you know, forget about the Bears, but you got the Packers, you got the Bills, you got the 49ers, you got the Vikings. Those are going to be some fun games. But I'll tell you, I'm very impressed with the Eagles, and I never doubted the Eagles roster. All throughout the year, I said the Eagles have a Super Bowl caliber roster, but it was the coach that I couldn't trust. Eventually, you could win in spite of the coach. I don't think they won last night in spite of the coach, to be clear. I still don't fully trust Sirianni, but when you look at the slim pickings that we have right now, and if I'm making the best case to win the Super Bowl, it's the Chiefs, the Bills, and the Lions, and I do think the Lions are the best team in the league right now, why can't the Eagles get there? And how freaking good is Saquon Barkley? 255 yards yesterday on the ground and two rushing touchdowns. Jalen Hurts looked good. A.J. Brown is a stud. That defense played really well. It's a shame what happened to our guy, Brandon Graham. BG is out for the year with the tricep injury. But, man, those are the four teams right now that I could see playing in the Super Bowl. It's the Chiefs, it's the Bills, it's the Lions, and the Eagles. And if you ask me, who's the third team to emerge in each conference? In the NFC, I would say it's the Packers. But the Packers still got to go beat, you know, a legit team. Like, the Packers, let me say it this way. Green Bay in their three biggest games of the season. Detroit, Minnesota, and the Eagles. Loss, loss, loss. Now, they have chances to redeem themselves. They get the Vikings again. They get the Lions again. And Love is, you know, has become a turnover machine this year. And it was, you know, I'm not going to sit here and go crazy over beating the snot out of the 49ers. The 49ers are the walking wounded yesterday. But I don't believe in the 49ers. I don't think they're making the playoffs. I think only one team's making the NFC West, the Commanders, right? They've regressed. The Vikings are good. I don't think they're winning three games to get to a Super Bowl. So I guess it would be Green Bay as that third team in the NFC that I would feel most confident about, but they still got to prove it. And in the AFC, Ravens lose tonight. You already had some people turning them. You got a lot more people turning on them. And if the Chargers win tonight, I think they could propel themselves into the conversation with the way that defense has played. That'd be their first big win. Herbert's a solid quarterback. Harbaugh, we know how good of a coach he is in both the NFL and college. It's not wild to say after tonight that the Chargers could be viewed as the third best team in the AFC. And even with all that being said, I can't envision the Chargers going to the Super Bowl. So right now I could only see four teams getting to the Super Bowl out of the NFL, two from the AFC, two from the NFC, Chiefs and Bills in the AFC, Lions and Eagles in the NFC. So I put a poll question up there at Zach Gelb. Put it up on at INF Sports End as well. We'll retweet it. Which team do you trust the most right now to win the Super Bowl? Chiefs, Lions, Bills, Eagles are the answers. Stu, how do you think those teams rank from 4 to 1? 4 least likely, 1 the likeliest option to go win the Super Bowl right now?
I think least likely would be the Eagles.
You would be incorrect in terms of our fan voting on that.
Bills.
Bills, yes, okay. At 8.8%.
And then the Eagles.
Correct, at 23.8%.
Then the Lions.
Incorrect.
Wow, Chiefs.
Yeah, Chiefs at 27.5% and the Lions at 39.9%. Ooh. And you know what? I know that the Bills beat them in the regular season the last four times. They haven't done so in the postseason. I kind of trust Buffalo now more than Kansas City. If I had to rank these teams, you know what? I would actually rank them right now, and I'm not saying these, you know what? No, it is what I'm saying, that these are the four best teams in the NFL. Lions are 1, Eagles are 2, I would say the Bills are 3, and the Chiefs are 4. That's how I would rank them right now. And I get it, right? No one's going to want to face Kansas City come postseason time. I would not be shocked in the slightest if they win another Super Bowl this year, because they just did it last year after they were getting doubted. But when I watch these teams play, I do feel like the NFC right now is better than the AFC, and I do think the Lions and the Eagles are 1-2, especially after how easily the Eagles made it look up against the Rams. And I'll put the Bills at 3 and the Kansas City Chiefs in at 4. So which team do you trust the most right now to win the Super Bowl? 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. I agree with most of the listeners. 39.9% say the Lions, and I'll cast my vote for the Lions as well. We'll take a timeout when we come on back. How about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers yesterday? They ruined the Tommy DeVito return party for the New York Football Giants at the Swamps of Jersey. That was a blowout. That was an ass-kicking by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And they ran the football. Baker Mayfield was awesome. And when we take a break and we come on back, Rashad White from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had a touchdown yesterday. Will join us coming up in a matter of moments. 5 minutes right here on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. A very, very, very busy Monday edition of the show. We'll continue to get things rolling when we come on back with Rashad White after these short messages. All righty, welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Stand Together is partnering with NFL legend Sean Alexander and Tampa Bay Buccaneer running back Rashad White to elevate their My Cause, My Cleats platform through engaging short documentaries that dive into the profound personal stories of the players themselves, explore the creation of their cleats, and go into the communities they serve to shine a light on the social entrepreneurs they support, as well as the individuals their work impacts. And now joining us on behalf of all of that is Rashad White of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who did have a touchdown yesterday. The Bucs as a team were able to have 4 rushing touchdowns in their beatdown of the New York Giants as Tampa Bay won 30-7. And Rashad joins us right now. Rashad, appreciate the time. Thanks so much for doing this. Congrats on the victory yesterday, and how you been?
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me on, Zach. And I've been blessed, man. I'm grateful. And like you said, we got back in the winning column, so that's what matters.
Yeah, we'll talk about that game and just the performance in just a bit, but I love your story. You know, you were Division II, you were JUCO. Eventually, we know you go to Arizona State, become a third-round pick, but take me back to kind of those days in Division II and also JUCO and what they were like that kind of really shaped the man that I'm talking to today.
Yeah, man, obviously, they was, you know, different times and, you know, just times that needed to happen. You know, obviously, God took me through all them times and through all them different journeys. But, man, it was blessings, and I learned a lot from older guys that I played with and teammates I had and just men. And then I learned a lot, obviously, in my junior college where I was just going that direction and, you know, just having to understand and learn how to live on my own, being 17, 18 years old and taking that risk, taking that choice to go out there. And, you know, you learn a lot about yourself through trials and tribulations, and you look back at them times and you just be, you know, grateful that you, you know, did that and you went through that journey, that God helped you through all of that. And at the end of the day, it's all about taking risks, man. And I tell my boys, and I tell my, you know, obviously my daughters that all the time, you know, life is kind of about taking risks, and sometimes the risks ain't gonna pan out, but you believe in yourself, you believe in what you got going on, you work hard, they pan out.
Yeah, and tough times, right? They build tough people and they make tough people. I'm sure there was moments where you questioned if it was worth it. Why did you elect never to quit when you look back at some of those tough times?
I just wasn't raised like that, man. Raised by a single mother, 4 boys, and that's hard itself, you know. Boys, we hard-headed for sure, you know, and things like that. But just seeing her, everything that she did in life to provide us the life that she did and everything that she gave us, man, it was awesome. And she never quit, you know, going to school, working 2 or 3 jobs, and getting her master's degree. Just young man, like a young boy, you watching all that and you see it and you respect it. And, you know, it shows up later down in the line. And for me, just watching my mom work like that, obviously, and who she stood for and who she was, obviously, I came away with a lot of characteristics from that. And my journey is living proof of that.
Love that answer. Rashad White here with us right now on the Zach Gelb Show. So I know you landed at Arizona State. You had some success there. I know you had to also deal with the COVID year when you were there. When did you start to realize, okay, I know you had the dream that you could go pro, but then you finally thought, okay, this could be a realistic thing where you end up getting picked third round in the draft?
Man, I don't, it's just crazy because I still be right now talking to my boys and they always tell me that, bro, you don't realize like what you do or what, all you have done and stuff like that. I mean, I'm so hard on myself, but man, just I mean, I had a few big games coming out the gate. Obviously, COVID year, and you know, it was just amazing to see. So I knew I had an opportunity then to get some big schools, some big time teams like USC and things like that. But only having whatever four games or three games, you know, negated a lot of it. So I really didn't count that as a year. So I, you know, just coming back my senior year, 2021 season, I knew I had to do some things. And like we just talked about, it was some trials and tribulations early on and in that season and in that year. And I kept fighting, and I got my God pops. I would always call him and talk to him. And it was crazy because I thought I was going to have to use my COVID year and come back to school at a point of, wow, like, I think halfway through my senior year. So I was talking to him about that, and he was just like, man, he said, you thinking too fast forward ahead. Just focus on being where your feet are right now. Focus on being in the present. You still got four or five games to go, and that's all that matters right now. You know, we take care of the rest when that time comes. And next thing you know, I just rattle off like three, four straight games of like 200 plus scrimmage yard games and like two TDs each game and stuff like that. And some big games against some solid big schools. And next thing you know, yeah, it was just up from there. And it was just understanding that, yeah, I wasn't going back to school.
I love that. Hey, the Sun Devils right now, how about the way they're playing? They could be in the Big 12 championship game, and they could be in the playoff. It's unbelievable what Kenny Dillingham has done.
Man, much respect for Kenny, man. I've been tuning in. I've been watching them. And, I'm about to drop a video for them, here this week and stuff like that, man, just showing them love and understanding of what they're doing, man. And, yeah, it's much respect and what they got going on, man. It's huge. And it's fun to watch. You know, it's fun to see them. And you see a team fighting for each other, fighting for the head coach and playing for one another and playing for the coach. And it's awesome, man. They got the juice, got the swag. And Arizona State always going to keep a solid running back around, you know. So shout out to, you know, Scatterboo, man. I'll be saying his name wrong. I'll be calling him Scatbo. But shout out to Scatterboo, man. And it's an honor to see what the guys are doing.
Hey, he's been unbelievable. Talking about bringing the juice, how about your quarterback in the NFL? Everyone's always doubted him. He's really been in a zone this year, having to deal with all the injuries on the offensive side of the ball and keeping the ship from sinking. Just how do you kind of describe what you saw yesterday out of your quarterback in Baker Mayfield?
Man, it just goes back to what we've been seeing, man. And I'm not just talking about the tempo. I'm just talking about for however long his career has been going on, you know. And you look back and you can pull out from every year or every stop of the way, everywhere he's been, you can pull out like plays and just how the guy is with, like you said, swag and juice. So it's amazing to see him and what he brings to our team, obviously, and the type of leader that he is in this locker room. And you know, we all appreciate him. We don't take that for granted. And we all want to play, you know, with him, play alongside him. And him just seeing what he do, like, you know, him even running down the field when Bucky broke the run, and him running down the field trying to block and just seeing it. And that's not the first time he did that this year. You know, he did that a couple other times. So just seeing that, man, that's who he is, man. And we love to play with him, man.
You had to love that celebration he had yesterday. He did the Tommy DeVito in front of all those Giants fans. That was really some celebration by your quarterback.
Yeah, that's just who he is, man. Guts, moxie, man. And, you know, that's what he brings to this team. And, you know, we all follow that lead.
It's got to probably be easy to relate to, because I know he won a Heisman. I know he was a number one overall pick, but he was once a walk-on, right? We talked about your story as well. Does that make it easier to relate to someone like Baker Mayfield when you see a quarterback that had to fight through a lot of adversity?
Yeah, man, yeah. And I talk to him all the time. I mean, we were just talking a couple of days ago just about a lot of stuff and about life and just things like that. So, yeah, you know, he always looking out, man, and always a good guy, you know, pick his brain and stuff like that, you know, and a guy you can trust, man. And that means a lot, you know, especially, you know, in the league and in the profession that we is in. And that's why I would say our locker room is made up, you know, of guys you can trust, guys, you know, stick together, stand together, guys that don't point fingers. And that makes a lot of sense. And that makes why, you know, we had the success we've had since, you know, Brady came over and how it had, and why it has continued.
Yeah, I know you were able to spend a year with the great Tom Brady. Just how do you kind of reflect on that experience? And what did you really pluck away from your time with the GOAT?
Yeah, man, it just, you know, much respect, man. Just watching him go to work, man, it was, it was a blessing, you know, and just to see. And, you know, you just pick his brain on a lot of things of, you know, take care of your body, just things like that, and what's important to you and what's not. So, you know, I say just much respect.
Well, let me ask you about Bucky Irving, because the two of you have really complemented each other really nicely this year. You guys as a team yesterday had 4 rushing touchdowns. Just what has really impressed you not that long ago, right, being in a similar situation, coming into a new team, young in the league, just what has really impressed you so far this year with Bucky Irving?
Mindset, man. He has a great mindset. Always willing to learn, always trying to learn, always picking guys' brain as well, and his energy and his attitude that he brings to the game, like you said. So, yeah, a lot of that stuff reminds me of me coming into the league and just how, you know, how I was, and it's just awesome, man. And that's what separates a lot of guys' mindset and just understanding what you got to do, and that's what he understands, and he understands who he is, and, you know, he play his game no matter what anybody says or how anybody, you know, he take the coaching, but he always just stay true and remain himself, and, you know, that's what matters. So I'm happy for him, and he's, like you said, we've been having a good year, man. He's been killing it.
You guys broke the losing streak yesterday up against the Giants, Rashad White, right? It's been a little bit rocky this year. You've had some injuries. It's good to get Mike Evans back yesterday. Now being 5-6, and you have some games down the stretch here where you guys can really get back in it. What do you guys hope to prove? What kind of team do you think you guys could show that you could be down the stretch here in the remaining games of the season?
Man, the biggest thing, man, we really not looking to prove anything. And I mean, that's coming from me, of course. I don't know what the other guys would say, but I'm pretty sure they'd say the same thing. I just think we just looking to focus on ourselves, do our job. Everybody just staying together, playing for one another, and obviously trying to get in the big dance. And, you know, that's what's important. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's the biggest thing, taking one game at a time. When we get in that game, taking one play at a time. You know, play for one another, talk to each other, one another, communicate. Obviously, football is the ultimate team sport. So, as long as we all on the same page, we'll be right in it. And obviously, the same thing, man. There's some of the games that we lost. We was right there, one possession games, and had a chance to win and things like that. Just, you know, ball and then roll our way. So, we're just trying to make amends for that.
You know, I'm just wondering because a lot of Giants players yesterday, Rashad White said, they felt like as a team they played soft yesterday and they thought their defense played really soft. You were going up against them. Did you sense that from them? Did you kind of sense that that's a fractured team right now, just being able to compete in between the white lines up against them?
I mean, I think they are pretty – I mean, I'm pretty sure, too, statistically it shows that they're a really good team, man, and really good defense, like, as in. So I don't know, you know, and you just got them games, man. There's some games that some things just don't go your way or don't click right. And some games that things go your way and click right. I mean, I wouldn't say that they play soft or they played that. It just probably things when, you know, going their way or going their favor. And that's just how it goes sometimes, you know, like, you know, they had a couple opportunities, things like that, but you know, things just went our way. You know, we end up getting the ball back or getting this or something, you know what I'm saying? Things like that. So that's just how it go, man.
All right, I'll end you out on this. Obviously, you're doing a lot of great work. My Cause, My Cleats, also with Care Portal and Stand Together. Just tell me everything that you're doing right now.
Yeah, obviously, you know, just rocking the cleats. You know, My Cause, My Cleats, obviously doing a huge campaign with them. Obviously, you know, getting the know, and obviously me and Sean and our relationship has been doing. Obviously, Sean Alexander, NFL legend and things like that, and what he do, man. And he's like a mentor to me. He helped me out, and he just brought me along and understanding when he got to know me what my purpose was and what I wanted to be aligned with. And that's obviously Stand Together and you know, Care Portal. And obviously me and Care Portal aligns very well. Headquarters is in Kansas City. They do a lot of work in Kansas City where I'm born and raised, and then they do a lot of work out here in Florida, which obviously, you know, I really love it out here. So I just try to, you know, be boots on the ground, as my uncle would say. And that's just a niche that I have. Obviously, I want to impact the community and things like that, and they gave me a way to help me out with that. And obviously, the things that Care Portal do is, you know, help keep families out of from breaking up and sticking together. And that aligned with, obviously, the sport I play, that aligned with my family and things like that, and how I wanted to impact just families and impact, you know, the community. And it's a lot of great moving parts that they have going on, and they got a lot of order and organization, and I just feel like I align with that, and I'm all for Care Portal, and I'm all for helping families stick together and keeping kids out of foster care.
Awesome stuff. Hey, by the way, I've been to Kansas City twice. What's your favorite barbecue? Just wondering.
I mean, I'm a Gates guy. That's just me, though. But I mean, you can't never go wrong with a lot of what they got going on, like Jack Stack, real deal.
My favorite, I mean, Jack Stacks, was unbelievable when I went there.
Yeah, Jack Stack's real deal. I'm just a Gates guy. But that's just how I am.
Well, I'll have to try it next time. Hey, Rashad White, congratulations on the game yesterday. Good luck to your Sun Devils and good luck to the Bucks the rest of the year.
Appreciate you, Zach. Yep. Thank you for having me on.
You got it. Anytime. There he is, Rashad White from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Love his story, man. From D2 to JUCO, eventually lands at Arizona State, has a solid year and a half there, and third-round pick. And Tampa Bay, man, I'll tell you, we thought that division was over. And the Falcons, right, they still have the upper hand, and they beat the Buccaneers twice. But this team right now is at 5-6. Here's their schedule the rest of the way. They play the Panthers, the Raiders, the Chargers, the Cowboys, the Panthers, the Saints. Not that you'll win all those games, but the only game you really look at and you go, oh, that's going to be tough, are the Chargers. Panthers, I know they had a good effort yesterday up against the Chiefs, but they're a bad football team. The Raiders, too, you know it better than anybody. They stink. The Cowboys, all right, they beat the Commanders. I get it. Divisional game. The Cowboys are no good. The Panthers, right, you play them again, and then you get the Saints at the end of the year. Now, it would not surprise. Only one team's going to get in the NFC South, but it would not surprise me if you're looking at a Tampa Bay team that ends up usurping the Falcons, because the Falcons, just like the Saints last year, they're the team to beat. They're the team that everyone thought and everyone picked was going to win the NFC South, and we'll see what the Falcons could do down the stretch. Chargers, Vikings, Raiders, Giants, Commanders, Panthers is their schedule. So it's going to be a fun race, which we didn't expect really in the NFC South, and that was a much-needed win for the Buccaneers yesterday. All right, he's Zach Gilch Show, Infinity Sports Network. We'll take a break. We'll come on back. We'll update you with some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We'll get to a news brief on the other side. Update time first. Here is Ack.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
It's time to ask the pros. Read the listener gets asked us a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at INF Sportsnet or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show when we might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's start off with Malik Nabers. Now, here's the thing. Brian Daboll knew what he was getting himself into. Because when you look back at the Hard Knocks in the offseason, they show some of the pre-draft interviews. It kind of was apparent that Brian Daboll fell in love with Malik Nabers' competitive edge. And he even talked to him kind of in that offseason Hard Knocks. What happens when the team's not playing well? What happens when the quarterback's not playing well and you don't get your targets? That was Brian Daboll basically admitting without saying it. Hey, I know you're a great player, but I also know you could be a bit of a diva, a bit of a stereotypical kind of prima donna type of wide receiver, but Daboll was all good with it. But now the roles are a little reversed because Dabes thought he was going to be attacking the quarterback or maybe attacking the offensive line or other wide receivers on the team. Listen up to Malik Nabers basically attack the head football coach in Brian Daboll yesterday after another New York Giants loss.
What words today would you use to describe this loss?
Selfish.
How disappointed are you?
Very.
What are you most disappointed about?
I mean, solving, man. I'm tired of going out there and losing. Like, it's just sad. I mean, I don't know, bro.
Did you expect the quarterback change to provide more of a spark than it did?
I mean, obviously, it ain't the quarterback. Same outcome when we had DJ at quarterback. I mean, take a look. It ain't the quarterback.
So what do you think?
I don't know what it is. Everybody know better than me.
Is it the mic on? We'll take three more.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But I know I'm tired of losing.
The PR person knew how much of a disaster that was. Because you hear, we'll take three more. Basically, get him out right now because we're cutting this press availability very short. He showed up in sunglasses and a wad of gum in his mouth as well. That was Malik Nabers yesterday. And I'll give credit to Brian Daboll because I listened to his press conference today. Daboll really could have basically ended his tenure today with the New York Giants. He may have done so yesterday, but it really would have been over today if he would have gotten in a public kerfuffle with Malik Nabers. He was basically like, hey, Malik and I talk. We're good. I love his competitive drive, and he's a frustrated young player, as he should be, with what's going on right now with the football team. So that was good to kind of nip that in the bud, then let that continue. Here is Baker Mayfield. This is a weird exchange with the media. Here is Baker Mayfield on his Tommy DeVito celebration that he did.
Tribute to Tommy, yeah. He's a good dude. He's got swag.
Yeah, who came up with that?
Oh, I have no idea. I just see him do it.
No, but whose idea was it for you to do that? And when did you know you were going to do it?
Most of the times I don't know what I'm going to do, so spontaneous stuff.
That was just spontaneous? That was not planned? I mean, even your teammates got into it, too.
Yeah, you know, New York fans love Tommy here and give him something they like.
Are you Italian by any chance or not?
I haven't done a 23andMe, but I don't know.
Too many questions about this. Anyone with a brain or anyone that has common sense just realizes Tommy DeVito does this celebration. Tommy DeVito's not a great quarterback. So when you score in that building and you're blowing up the team, you're going to do the celebration and you're going to throw it right back in their faces. It's not as if we need some investigative journalists to tell us how did Baker Mayfield and his teammates come up with this. It's the easiest thing ever. All right, let's go to Gerard Mayo, my football team. Man, you want to talk about a guy that just does not sound or really coach like he should be a head coach right now. This is Gerard Mayo. Here's what the coach had to say after the blowout loss to the Miami Dolphins.
Look, it's always, look, once those guys cross the white lines, there's nothing I can do for them. There's
Wonderful.
Nothing any coach can do for them once they cross the white line. It's my job to continue to prepare not only them, but our coaches to go out here and play better football.
Okay. So why are you guys constantly unprepared when you step in between the white lines? That would be my follow-up question. If you can't do anything during the game, which is inconceivable to me. And maybe Gerard Mayo one day could turn into a good coach. But everyone was telling me, oh, he's ready to be a head coach. He's ready to be a head coach. And Robert Kraft, shame on you. You told us that 5 years ago, early in the season, you decided he was going to be the coach that replaces Bill Belichick. Why? And it's amazing when you have these great teams have to replace these great coaches. They always go with someone in-house. They always go with someone that had ties to the program. Look at what UNC did. Look at what Duke did. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But for the Patriots, why did you do an actual search? I know you promised Mayo he was going to be the coach, but Mike Vrabel easily would have been more qualified, easily would have been the better choice. And I don't think you should fire Gerard Mayo after one season. This team stinks. You know, any coach would have trouble making this team look good. But geez, the fact that he was picked to be the head coach, I questioned it at the time and I question it even more now. So here's Tua Tagovailoa. You beat the Dolphins. Now you got to go to Lambeau Field and you got to go play up against the Green Bay Packers. How about playing in the cold in Green Bay?
You mentioned the significance of the coming game. What do you think about maybe playing in some cold in Green Bay?
I mean, I'm excited to kill narratives. So let's go. Bring it on.
I still think the Dolphins are going to fall short of making the playoffs. But Tua this year has shown his importance to that team because that team looked absolutely lost without him. Unfortunate news last night. So Brandon Graham left the game with the injury. We just had him on 10 days ago. Talking about how he wants to win a Super Bowl right off into the sunset, and then if he's not able to win a Super Bowl this year, then he'll think about his playing future. But he's 36. He was kicking ass last night, and unfortunately now he's out for the season. Here's Brandon Graham announcing he's going to be done for the season after suffering an injury last night to the media when the Eagles blew out the Los Angeles Rams.
I'm out for the rest of the year.
For real?
Right here.
Yeah. What happened?
Tore my tricep.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got chipped. Got hit in my elbow, tore my tricep, but man, hey, like I told the boys, man, we got the missing, still the missing. As soon as I can be back out there, I'm going to be out there. But man, we was having fun out there.
Have you thought about next year yet, whether you'll come back and play?
Man, just trying to process everything right now. I ain't got that far.
Man, it's just such an unfortunate news for one of the good guys in the NFL for a long time in Brandon Graham, especially with how he was playing and him even saying before the year started this was his last year, even though he walked it back with us 10 days ago when he joined us on the show. Bears lose again. They suck you back in, and then they can't get the job done in overtime. Vikings, by the way, what a bad beat. I picked them on the show on Thursday to win lane 3.5. How they didn't win that game by 3.5 points after leading for most of the game was just absolutely embarrassing. But here's Caleb Williams after the game, throwing a little shade at Sam Darnold, also praising Kevin O'Connell.
When you get a guy like him, you know, his offense and head coach and his guys love him. I have a few teammates old teammates over there that talk about him, and you know, they love him and met him at the draft and all these different things. And so when somebody comes over to you that's, you know, having guys and having Sam Darnold even out there balling, and you know, he's been a great coach so far, I believe.
Yeah, he's a really good coach. I know I'm a USC guy and Sam Darnold's a USC guy, but he's been trash in the NFL, and even Kevin O'Connell's got Sam Darnold balling. And he does it in such a calm, mild voice as well, where it doesn't sound like he's trashing him just because of the tone of his voice, but clearly he is, where he's just throwing shade at Sam Darnold. Jeez, that's some quote from Caleb Williams. Here is George Kittle on the rough season so far for the 49ers.
I'm optimistic, yes.
Does this season kind of test that optimism?
No. Why would it? I mean, we're not where we want to be by any means. But no, my optimism is not broken by any means. We still have a lot of very talented players, and I still have full trust in this coaching staff to put our guys in position to make plays, and I got no worry about that. But definitely uphill grind, and gonna see what we're made of, which I'm looking forward to.
The best thing for the Niners yesterday is they got blown out. The best thing was that the Cardinals did not beat the Seahawks, because if the Cardinals beat the Seahawks, that would have put them at a 7-4 record. And if that's the case, the Niners in 5-6, that would have been an uphill climb. Niners are still in it. I have no reason to believe in them, just like I have no reason to believe in the Bengals unless you're pulling on things from years past. But right now, the 49ers are 5-6, the Rams are 5-6, the Cardinals are 6-5, and the Seahawks are 6-5 as well. And we're waiting for someone to grab that baton and run away with it, and we'll see who's going to be able to do that down the stretch. But I'm not going to anticipate that the Niners miraculously get healthy, and then they're going to be the team that gets in. But if they do get in, you're not going to want to face them. But I don't think this is the year. It just feels like the Niners just don't got it this year. And I don't believe that they're going to make the playoffs. And I don't believe, even if they do make the playoffs, that they're going to be heading back to the Super Bowl. All righty. A lot of NFL in the first hour. We got to get to college football when we come on back. An embarrassing performance for Alabama. An embarrassing performance for Jackson Dart and his receivers at Ole Miss. And it was set up for A&M to get back into the party, and they couldn't capitalize as well. What is going to happen with the SEC when it comes to the playoff? And also, we'll get into Kurt Cignetti and Indiana getting blown out by Ohio State. And Coach Prime, you had us! And then your team blew it because they were smelling themselves. All right, we'll get to all that next.